Good rainy morning, and welcome to the City of Morro Bay's Tourism Business Improvement District regularly scheduled meeting for Thursday, October 21st, 2010. I show that we have a full board. I'd like to call the meeting to order at this time. Public comment period. I'd like to open it up to members of the public comment. Seeing none, though, I will close that. There we go. Board announcements. My goodness, that seems loud. Board announcements. Are there any board announcements?
I just wanted to say that I think that this weekend is the Morro Bay Photo Expo. It's their first expo. I know that we're booked solid. It's their second expo. We're booked solid for that event. Good. We can continue forward.
I'm good with going forward. Okay.
Good. Do we have a
we're getting into a discussion here rather than an announcement, and this might be a future agenda item. Okay, sorry. I just don't want to get into something that's okay. So let's put that on, Jane, at the end for a future agenda item to discuss development of events, and is that the direction you're going in?
It's either that or coordinating something. I don't know if that's our purpose.
Okay, I don't know if it's our
purpose. And just a shot for the One-Eyed Skunk Golf Tournament, which is this weekend. The Chamber has a group that's going to be participating in that, and we hope all members of the community get behind that. That's all I have in terms of announcements.
I have one announcement. Saturday night, November 8th, here in the Veterans Hall, the Morro Bay Community Foundation, which is a nonprofit group that collects funding for scholarships for kids for youth sports through the Recreation and Parks Department. 100% of all the money collected goes towards youth scholarships to allow kids to play sports in our greater community, provide scholarships to the kids in Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas, not just Morro Bay, even though it's called the Morro Bay Community Foundation. So mark your calendars for Saturday, November 8th, here. It will be Morro Bay Sings the Beatles. We have several bands coming up from L.A. It's a great event. The Galley, they cater it with soup and salad. There's a wine bar and a beer bar. And those are, of course, no host. And the food is no host, but it's only $5 for the soup and salad bar. It's a killer deal. And the ticket to get in is $35. And like I said, the entertainment is top-notch. And all of the proceeds go to the Morro Bay Community Foundation. And that is here at, I believe, 6 p.m. on Saturday the 8th. Okay, that's my big plug. Any other announcements, board members? Thank you. Okay, I will look to the approval of the minutes from the September 16th, 2010 meeting. Are there any corrections on minutes, and did everybody have an opportunity to look them over?
I had noticed one thing. I don't know how important it is. I had a question mark here. Let me read through it. Okay, it shows that he showed a video. I'm sorry, under C, TGA Advertising Agency Report, the third paragraph down, it talks about John Sorgenfrey discussed the co-op programs, blah, blah, blah. And then at the last sentence, it says he showed a video that included footage that had been shot for the project. That footage had not had anything to do with this co-op. The footage that was shot was the $2,500 that was a separate item.
You're right. That's what I caught, too.
You can just delete that sentence.
Okay.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. I think that was the only thing I had noticed going through.
Great. Then with that correction, I would look for a motion to approve the minutes from our September meeting.
I'll make a motion that we approve the September 16th, 2010 minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, good. Monthly reports. We have lots of reports this month. Monthly reports, trade show subcommittee. I will start with that. Okay, trade show subcommittee. If we can get a shot of the overhead, I just want to point out that we had two big events this past beginning of this month, the Harbor Festival and Savor the Central Coast. And I am big on thanking people because I think it's amazing when people in our community come out to support us and help us. And so these are a quick hit list of those that we would like to thank. Our wonderful community sponsors who came out and supported us, Sojourner Surfboards, As High As I Am, Central Coast Stand-Up Paddle, Kayaks and More, Morro Bay Oyster Company, Lost Isle Adventure Tours, Tognazzini's Dockside, Windows on the Water, Ancient Peaks Winery, Frankie and Lolo's, Cayucos Abalone Farm, Farmers Kites and Surreys, Morro Bay Harbor Festival, Dorn's, Krill's, Top Dog Wine Cellar, The Rock Espresso Bar, The Shell Shop, Subsea Tours, Beach Bungalow, Masterpiece, La Serena, Embarcadero Inn should be on there, Best Western San Marcos, The Berry Man, also Gio from Giovanni's should be on there. And these are all for events also. There was another winery. There are a list of volunteers there for the Western Wine Awards dinner to go out and represent Morro Bay, and shucking what seemed like a million oysters that night were Kirk Sowell and Neil Maloney. And then the booth setup was Karen, John, Jane, Sean. That ticket got them literally food from all of the county's top restaurants. Free beer, free wine from all the top wineries, all kinds of door prize entries, even a chance to win a Volvo. It was a pretty amazing event. So that is the trade show.
Can I just add one thing? Also, I think that you deserve some kudos for being our host for the Battle of the Bays, or Battle of the Bay. And I can tell you that this came up yesterday at our Pismo Beach meeting, and Pismo even thought that, not that we're competitors or anything in Pismo Beach, but that Battle of the Bay was the best event. Susan Brazil had said that. She said that she had so much feedback from the people who attended that, and actually comments from Sunset. So I think that, you know, while we had a great booth, without a doubt, I think the Battle of the Bay came off great. And I think everybody that worked on that deserves some kudos, too. And I did talk to Aspect who filmed that and ask them, you know, what's the status with that footage? They're still trying to question, like, who's going to pay for editing, because I guess they shot that without really any kind of budget. So I'm going to talk to them. I don't think there's a lot of editing required for that, but I'll bring back to the board, you know, at a future time what we might be able to do with that, because I think that that footage would be great to have, even if it was edited down to a small, you know, portion of it. And then I did have my videographer shoot that too, so we have that footage. And that's more like the making of the Battle of the Bay, because she was there filming them film it. And so I'll probably by next meeting, I will have that video put together. So it'd be something we could put on our website and kind of a recap of the Battle of the Bay. But, you know, again, I think that the chefs did a great job too. Both chefs were, the food they prepared, of course, was great, but just their comments and everything that was associated with it. It was again, like everything, a lot of work, but at the end result was a lot of fun. And I think the audience really enjoyed it.
I have a question. Over the 2 days, or was it 2.5 days, really, how many visitors do you think we had to the booth? And do you have any estimation, or is there any thought about how we can track if we got business by participating? I know that we ask people, oh, is this your first time to Morro Bay? How'd you hear about us?
Well, the way I can track it is we took in over 600 names ourselves to sign up for our own website, which is unheard of. We have 600 in a single hit like that to get 600 people to sign up. To put that into perspective for you, when Don and I went down to the San Diego show and spent 3 days in San Diego at the San Diego show, we came away with 70 names. 3 days. And this was a 2-day event.
600.
And so we 600, to get 600 names where they said, oh my gosh, yeah, I want to sign up for your, and then we have entries for the drawing that we're going to sign up. So we took a huge amount of people that we can market to that are willing to receive our marketing. So that alone, I mean, I can tell you that we have how many, I could probably tell you if I looked at some chamber stats, tell you how many people are signed up for our newsletter, or maybe Rick could tell us how many were signed up for our newsletter. But, you know, for us to get almost, to get that many, I would say we probably got 10 or 15% of what we already have signed up for our newsletter in that one weekend, which is really great for us, because we are going to start using that newsletter as a marketing tool. The website subcommittee is. So, but the Battle of the Bay was spectacular. I got to tell you, down there at Windows, they need to put that dish that won on their menu. It was a stuffed, what was the fish? It was a stuffed sea bass stuffed with
Black cod
stuffed with avocado and a thin layer of abalone. And what Katie Tammany said was, all these dishes are good, but that dish right there is the embodiment of the sunset experience, which bodes really well for a restaurant here in Morro Bay. So really, really great. Kudos to Neil and Kirk, who battled it out and did just a fantastic job. And by the way, the oyster tour on Friday, let me tell you something. Those people were blown away. Mark Tognazzini hit an out-of-the-ballpark home run down there on the dock. The fishermen were bringing in the fish. It could not have been more of an authentic fishing village experience. It was incredible. Plus, we had sunshine. All the wildlife were out. We were being raced back to the back of the bay by seals on both sides of the boat. I mean, I couldn't have paid money for the seals to show up. So it was great. So I just wanted to let you know that both of those experiences, we had everyone from the oyster tour show up back at our booth that weekend raving about it. So, yeah, it was phenomenal. And the Tognazzinis, thank you.
And following up on the
review of the transient occupancy report, and actually I'm going to cover that really quick. Let me get over there. So the September report is in, and if you look at this, I'm sorry, the August report is in. I don't know why I'm saying September. The August report is in, and if you look at it, it is down a little bit year on year. But I'm not really worried about that, and I don't think the hoteliers should be either. The reason, in my mind, why that percentage is down a little bit year on year from 68 to 66%, down 2%, if we take that 2% and divide it into the number of rooms we have available, it's basically 1.5 days. And last year in 2009, 2 days of Labor Day weekend occurred in August, and this year all 3 days occurred in September. So if you know, we have these trends in occupancy based on holidays, also on what days of the week a holiday falls on. For example, 4th of July, if it falls on a Wednesday, we don't get the crush on either weekend. So we look at the trends of when the holidays fall, and I'm not alarmed by the 2% down in occupancy because that basically equates to 1.5 days of occupancy, and I really feel strongly that that could be our Labor Day weekend. But we'll know next month, right?
Well, you know, the thing that's interesting, if you look at the park tax collected and you compare that, we're actually not that far off. You know, there's $100, not even $100 difference, which means we had the travelers here, you know.
It's 1,000 difference, not 100.
There's 19,836 in August, and park and trailers is...
Okay, I was looking at the full park receipts, so sorry, okay, which would equal the 12% or 10%, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at the 19,963. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just interesting. It would be interesting to see how the restaurant receipts did. Because I found that there were many people that came to visit us and said, hi, but we took a trailer this year, or we rented a house this year. So it's interesting for me to compare not just the motel receipts, but also what everybody else did.
I think we also have a shift from August to July with a lot of schools going back starting in August now. I think if you look back at the last 3 years, July is consistently moving up. So I think that plays into where our August numbers come in also.
So that is our TOT. So our BID collection for this... our BID money collected was at 2%, so it was $40,487.47, and it looks like we still have one outstanding motel on there. So, okay. So we can just accept the report for file, is that correct? Okay. Any other questions on TOT before we move on? No? Okay, now we move over to John Sorgenfrey from TJA and to the advertising agency report.
Thank you.
John.
I'll just pass out right now. This is just a up-to-date budget recap of where we're at currently. This kind of shows you total budget and what we've spent to date and the still available category that you're familiar with. We're just in the process now of getting our fall campaign underway. So this gives you a pretty good picture of where we're at currently, and still have quite a bit of money available to take us through for winter and spring, but this kind of gives you that picture. If there are any questions on that, I'll move on. As you all know, we were able to make the deadline for Sunset Saver for our visitor's guide. Pass those out. Go, John. And I think most of you have seen this. I want to thank the subcommittee that was basically Joan and Michelle for making themselves available to get this through. We did print only 10,000 of these for the very reason that we did have to move fairly quickly with the printing of this and getting it designed. So right now we're starting to go through and kind of, you know, figure out where we're at, if there's anybody that we missed. We were able to add some people at the very end. We pulled it off the press and included some.
Just a comment. This is a fabulous thing. The reception of this at the visitor center has been outstanding. We've been giving this out to visitors. We're using it for the fulfillment. It's great. I can't say enough good things about it.
Good. Thank you. What I'll do is I just wanted to pass these out, and this is really pretty rough, but we are in the process, and I'm going to be working in more detail with the creative subcommittee, but I just wanted to take the opportunity just to show you kind of where we're at with at the last creative subcommittee meeting that we had. We talked about that we wanted to have the creative kind of emulate the visitor's guide. So this is kind of that first attempt at doing that. And again, this is rough. Copy could change. Probably have a little more detailed copy in here. But I just wanted to show you kind of where the elements go and then how we're incorporating. As you see in the visitor's guide, we had different sections of the guide that talked about nature, talked about adventure, talked about pet friendly. So the idea here would be a campaign that would take into those considerations, those various categories, but then also use pull quotes from actual visitors. There's actually two going around. There's one with a seal and one with a whale. And again, just to kind of show you the campaign, how that would look, but you know, incorporating the California Highway 1 sign, which we have on our billboard, we have on our guide now, and kind of talking about the gateway to Morro Bay. But again, I'm not really looking for a full approval of this today. I just kind of wanted to show you where we're at, and I'll take this to the creative subcommittee pretty quickly. And when we meet, we can kind of fine-tune these, then I'll bring them back to the full board. But it just kind of, if anything, it shows you a way to have the print ads complement the visitor's guide, which is what we're trying to do. And then also I think that we just have some phenomenal pull quotes from people who have come here and talked about their experience. And I think people more and more through the use of social media, whether it be Facebook, TripAdvisor, people want to hear from actual people. They don't really care anymore to hear from a critic. And they want to hear it from somebody who's actually come and experienced it. So that's kind of the gist of the campaign that we'll be working with for the spring.
I have a question on the visitor's guide.
Mm-hmm.
Are the people that are listed in the visitor's guide businesses that are members of Chamber, or is everybody who's a business in this town listed?
I can answer that.
Excellent.
Not everybody who is a business in this town is listed. Every hotel is listed because the hoteliers paid for it.
Right, I understand. That's why I'm asking the question.
So it's not just members of the chamber, it's kind of a mix.
Okay. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because I was noticing in the pet-friendly section there's a lot of restaurants that aren't listed that are pet-friendly and stuff like that.
You know,
so when we do the next run, mm-hmm. are we going to include those people?
When we do the next run, we're going to do some correction. But we're not going to reinvent the wheel, so we're going to clean up and do what we can. But again, we put this together in 30 days, which is a huge
undertaking.
Oh, no,
it's fantastic. The
right.
reason I'm bringing it up is because there is some question out there, you know, why be a member of the chamber? And so I feel that if you're listed in here, you know, yes, you're a member of BID because the hotels, you know, are paying into it as every, you know, we should be. But what about the other businesses that aren't members of the chamber? Should they be in here?
They were not excluded.
Okay.
So in that,
and it doesn't list all the members of the chamber either.
Okay.
There's over 500 members of the chamber. If we listed them all, it would be many, many pages longer.
Yeah, this is not a chamber guide, and this is not a community promotions guide. This is our hoteliers BID visitor guide.
But I think, Jane, to answer your question, we want to make sure that we have all the detail going into the next one. So, you know, I would encourage anybody that sees things that, you know, if there is somebody that's left out that should be in. We also, it's a very fine line to include a lot of material but not date it. And that was kind of the effort, too, because if you list people that you know, with this economy and it's just the way businesses work, if they go out of business, then the thing's dated. So the effort was to be inclusive of everybody. But the main thing that was done was that to recognize what is in it for the visitor. Because the visitor wants to know, you know, doesn't really particularly care whether one's a chamber member or not. They want to know the hotels. They want to know the restaurants. They want to know the experience. So it's been designed along those ways. But, you know, I will preface it by saying we did this really quickly. and it that certainly could be improved upon with more with other content, and we encourage that and make it just as perfect as we can the next time.
One other comment. The Chamber is in the process right now of putting together a listing and a guide of all the Chamber members, which is a separate document funded and put together by the Chamber.
Right.
Not to compete with this, but to give the Chamber members recognition.
Sure. Okay. So I think once we have the two passes, or gave away 2-day passes, had a drawing that was brought people to their website, so there was website coverage as well for the Harbor Festival. We also included the Harbor Festival in a variety of our ads, as we did with Saver, Bakersfield Life, Fresno Bee, things like that, that we knew that would be a good target for them as well. And Jack Church, who was a weatherman here on KCOI, who's now at KERO, he did all the promos for the contest at no charge. So we had a lot of promos running that talked about Harbor Festival. And from my understanding, Harbor Festival had a pretty good attendance. I'm not saying that was the KERO schedule was the only reason for that, but hopefully it did help. And we brought some people from out of the market, too, that helped the BID who funded that. The other thing I was going to mention was that we ended up doing, when we shot, Joan mentioned about the oyster tour, and we shot a promo video for that, which you saw in the last meeting. And what we tried to do at the same time was to shoot a generic version of that. So I have that to show to you, and I'll see if these guys are set up. Okay, just a second. Excuse me. So again, just to give you kind of a lead in on this while they're preparing it, we wanted to not just, because we knew that the Saver, obviously that video is going to have only a short time frame, because once the event's over, the video is gone. So we purposely shot it so we would have it generic. And then what I'm going to talk to in this creative subcommittee and then bring back to the board is, I think these video logs is something that I would like to see us continue and have different subjects. We could have a video log on pet friendly. We could have a video log on fishing, video log on nature, bird watching, photography. And this kind of gives you an example of just one aspect of what the visitor can see when they come to Morro Bay.
Hi, my name is Wendy Rakoff with Lifestyle Adventures, and we do oyster tours, and they're a lot of fun. And after we're done with the tour, we have a little barbecue sometimes to give you a little taste of what it's like. So right now, I'm going to put, these are from Morro Bay Oyster Company. We have two oyster companies in the bay, and they're both fabulously delicious.
Hello, my name is Neil Maloney, owner of Morro Bay Oyster Company. We grow Pacific Gold oysters. Come out and see our farm with Wendy and Alan on the Lost Isle Tour. We're going to be giving you a tour of the bay as well as a farm tour in which you can see our great local product and see how we grow and raise our oysters, the great Pacific oyster here.
We can take 28 passengers. It's really comfortable. You don't have to worry about going in the ocean. We're in this fabulous Back Bank estuary.
There's a seal here coming this way. Yeah, 2 days ago, those seals were just going crazy in here feeding.
When you go on our tour, you go out on the bay, it's one of the best parts of the tour because it's so relaxing. We tell you about the wildlife in the bay, the fishermen, all the local things that we catch and protect here. Also the sand spit and the beautiful Morro Rock.
We farm in sustainable methods that are low impact to the environment. We create an artificial habitat in the estuary that actually acts as a nursery for small crabs and fish.
For every 3 floats, there's 5 bags. And like I said, every bag has 150 oysters. So right now we have about 500,000 oysters in production that will be ready to eat within the year.
So as we get back here, you'll see my crews at work. Today they're sorting oysters, hand sorting oysters for the markets this week. And today they're going to be bringing us some fresh oysters to sample. This is our crew bringing fresh product right out of the water. We harvest and deliver direct to you. We buy the seed when they're about the size of a pencil eraser, and we plant them in mesh bags. And we tend to them over their lifespan. Our smallest product that we sell to our customers is anywhere from a year to 14 months old. And we sell product that gets into larger sizes to restaurants such as the Dockside. Mark Toccanzini's Dockside sells our large oysters on the barbecue. And those oysters are anywhere from 2.5 to 4 years old. And they get quite large, but they still taste great. So the benefits to the environment as well as the local economy are a great thing that we like to offer to our local people here in Morro Bay.
So that just kind of gives you a little example. And you saw some of the same shots that we did, obviously, in the Saver, but we shot some of the longer versions. And then, again, the usage for this is to set up our own video, which we have right now, a video player on our site, but also to utilize this, put this on the Morro Bay Facebook, and then also, obviously, YouTube. And, again, I know I've said this before, but you keep in mind YouTube is the second most used search engine next to Google. So as we get a whole library of videos on YouTube, I mean, whether people want to find out about fishing, they want to find, and we did shoot Mark Tognazzini when he did his part for the Sunset Saver. We shot a longer form that we're editing right now to talk about fishing, and the theme there is that, yes, there are fish. Fishermen are catching fish. There is still a viable fishing industry. It's gone through some challenges, but Morro Bay is an active fishing harbor. And to position ourselves like that as well. And then I think as we cover like the not have had a shot to supply them. So this and the challenge is, now I will tell you that this location is necessarily not the most perfect place. I mean, but you try to find a place that's going to incorporate the beach, the rock, and the bay. So, and also on the day that there was no fog, which we had one day.
Actually a 360-degree bubble, so you can look up, you can look down, you can look around, but most people want to stay horizontal.
So we'll put this on the website, and so the attention will be take a 360-degree view of the rock and the beach.
Great shot of the rock. And there's zoom-in capabilities. You can play with it all you want. So it's a big high-def shot, so it's pretty cool.
So if you could pan down just showing the beach again, I think that's just the... another aspect of actually to the right. You know, really showcasing this beach that's totally secluded but beautiful.
That's just a still shot, right?
I don't know how they did this one. Okay. I've done it before. Mm-hmm. It's usually a stitched shot of multiple images. If they have a really high-tech camera, they can set it up in a dome, and it just turns on its own and captures it all.
But it's all shot HD. It's all high definition. And the way he presented it to us, and probably the way we'll enhance it on the website, is we'll put some music behind it, and it'll actually move. And then if the person wants to stop it and move or look, zoom in on the bay or whatever, they're able to do that, as we can see with the controls.
Michelle from the Best Western virtual tours that I did. So they get a lot of play, and especially now high def. I mean, it's just really cool.
So eventually how the county seabed's going to utilize this is that because we have the creative for this, will be included on their interactive map. So as you look at each of the different locations on the map, you'll be able to take a 360-degree view of Cayucas, Cambria, and Morro Bay. So again, we'll be included with that.
How much was that? Was
it cost
on that? I think
it was $600.
To be included on the map?
I believe the map is, because we have the creative, they'll put us on at no charge.
Okay.
I'll verify that, but that was my understanding.
I thought I remember it coming up at one point at RBID Alliance meeting that they had said the more to make their map
right.
successful and fuller, the more, the better. They weren't going to charge for it.
I think the main thing was the emphasis that they couldn't include us if we didn't have the creative, so we've got that.
Before I get into the stats, we'll show you the other part. So scroll down right above the video. You see the link, new Morro Bay Visitor Guide, right above the video. Click on that one. And you see the arrow down there by where it says page one. Flip the pages.
Can you push your microphone over?
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm leaning away from here. So click. That's how it works. And each one is zoomable, printable, whatever you want. You can print the whole brochure out there. So that's what we were able to accomplish with that. And that'll get played with really a lot. We'll be tracking it for you in the future.
Does that show up anywhere else on that homepage other than right above the video?
Well, that's one of the things. We just wanted to get it up so you guys could see it. This was just been up for 3 days, 4 days now. We're thinking possibly one of the things we'll discuss is, do we want to make it a link? You know, in other words, a button over on the right, on the left side, so it's a little more visible. I just wanted to get it up there just so I could show you guys today.
I think that's a good point, though, Karen. I think what we want to do is I think people will. I mean, this is like our principal fulfillment, so I think maybe making sure that we have it in a lot of different places for people to go to.
Go back to the regular website if you could. close it.
You know, it might also be kind of great if all of the hotels could have it on their websites also.
Sure.
And which would be a cross-link, which would be great for the hotels mm-hmm. and also great for the visitor center.
Yeah, you can already link to morrobay.org on there, but you're saying link direct into that page is
right.
what you want to do.
Or, we, you know, you could have Morro Bay Visitor's Guide on all of our web pages with a picture of the visitor's guide, and then that would do a direct link.
Well, we can, you know, Jane, what we could do if you want to do that is we could put up a page on morrobay.org where you could get all that information. Here's the image, here's your link, and feel free to use it. And we've done that before. But as Karen, see over there where it says travel blog, Morro Bay webcam, we're thinking about, you know, that was the discussion that's yet to be had. Do we want to add it there? And I think it's because every time somebody views the or prints it out, it saves you money. Because you're not printing it out, and that's the whole purpose. Fine. Okay. Any other questions? I'll head into the numbers.
Do we have an iPhone app for that? I'm serious.
We're working on that.
Okay.
I showed Michelle something after the meeting last time. Since Jane brought it up.
Rick and I have been talking about coming back to you guys with a proposal for how we could do more with the smartphones, so we're working on that.
Yeah, so good question, because that's the trend right now. We're all going to have smartphones. The iPad has been such a popular thing. They're all coming out. Everybody in the world, I'm sure at CES this year, which I attend all the time, there will be a whole bunch of pads that might be smaller than the iPad. So it's going to be a divergence between or a convergence between your smartphone and an iPad, a 7-inch screen. You're going to use it, and that's all we're going to have pretty much. But anyway, web data. Basically, hopefully you got the report from that John sent out. You know, the stats are obviously showing us that we're going out of summer into our shoulder season. You know, so that's we've had the drop, but it didn't drop as much as some of the other clients. So I'm thinking we're still showing some gains over what we've done with the website. It's showing some positive. If you look at the stats for October of 2009, we had 10,500 visitors. September of 2010, we had 15,500. So there's a $5,000 person discrepancy there between the 2 months. And I think we're going to show some positive gains when we finally get a year to that we can compare to a monthly. You know, when I look back through this stuff, there's nothing really out of the ordinary. Referring URLs, it's interesting that the Mercury News in the last 30 days sent 344, so we must be running some ad there. SanLuisObispoCounty.com is still climbing in the number of referrals that it's sending in. Central Coast Tourism, I don't know if you've seen the new CCTC site, but it's a brand new one, and now they're starting to show up as a referral. So,
nothing, go ahead.
I just say one thing about I think with the county visitors and conference bureau site, we are running banner ads as part of our co-op, so I think that is one reason why we've seen a nice steady increase there too.
So where I want to spend the time at is in your master lodging report. The questions came up after the meeting last time I was talking with Michelle about Jackrabbit, and that, you know, so if you look at that, and then I've got a little spreadsheet that I did just recently on that. So if you look at the total listing views, the click throughs, and then the Jackrabbit clicks.
Okay, hang on.
Good.
Okay,
well, that's good. We can wait. I'm going to pass this out. So this is a new version of the report that John sent out, and what we're trying to do here is we're trying to do a little ROI work, okay, and trying to put a value on what's going on your website. We did this yesterday for Pismo Beach, and we've got 4 months with Jackrabbit adding in their claimed clicks to your websites, your hotel websites. So here's what I've done. Follow through with me on the math. I'll try to work your way through it. 1% website conversion column. And what we're saying there is that for every 100 people one person is going to make a reservation. In our industry, it's called a look-to-book ratio. Okay, how many people are looking on your website and how many people are making a reservation? 1% is pretty much a fairly common number that's used in reports. This might not apply to each individual, but as a collective, it's probably pretty darn close. So what I did was those reservations, those website conversions, I used a 1% look-to-book, an average length of stay of 2 nights, and I used $120 ADR. I didn't have John's wonderful numbers that he was passing out. I could have corrected it a little bit better, but your ADR so far this year is $111. So anyway, that's what I did. So in other words, that's that first column. The second column, the 4x phone conversion rates. The studies have been out there right now, and I think this is changing closer to where we're going to get a higher look-to-book ratio on websites. But the best knowledge out there says that for every $1 that's booked online, you'll get $4 to $7 booked via a phone call. Because we're exposing your phone number both on the website and anybody that Jackrabbit or us drives to Michelle's website, there's your phone number there. So that's one of the things that we're saying. So what I'm doing is, here's a math issue. You guys could plug in your own numbers from your own experience and come close. And anyway, what I've looked at is that the total sales were created from your website is about $315,000 in 4 months. Now, here's what we're finding out, and Pismo's got a little more history with me at least. We're saying that basically your website should be creating 4 to 5% of all of your lodging sales. And this number is pretty much in that solid, and you'll probably get, we're in the ballpark with this. I feel very confident. I've been doing this for 16 years, and we haven't really, somebody said, Rick, no, you're really wrong on this. But it doesn't mean that the dynamic that creates this isn't changing and evolving where you're getting more website reservations. But I think it was a fun little exercise. It took us a little bit of time to do it. But anyway, if you've got any questions on anything.
Well, I have a question. So basically what you're saying is in September, of all the clicks that we had to the morrobay.org website, which was how many?
Are we just talking to the
total clicks in September from morrobay.org website?
You mean total visitor sessions?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many?
Okay, let me go back, Jane, on that.
Because what I'm trying to figure out is
15,500.
Okay. So the percentage of Jackrabbit clicks that came out of those sites was the 2,038, right?
Yes,
ma'am. Okay. What's that percentage? Do you know?
Will be about 1/7.
1/7.
Yeah, one out.
So less than 1%.
One out of every 7.
So that's better than 1%.
That's over 10%.
Okay. So what I'm interested in is, of the 2,000 clicks, can we track how many of those clicks through Jackrabbit became reservations?
I can't. You guys could. Michelle's raised her hand. She knows.
Yeah. So what you do is go to your Google Analytics.
Oh, no. I know what they are for me. For me, there was zero. Okay. But I'm just curious about the other hotels.
Okay. I went through and looked at my individual ones last month. And I didn't look this month because I just didn't have time to go through and do it. And we had I think it was one of my properties had like 45. It was good.
So 45 clicks or 45 reservations?
You can only see the click throughs. Oh, I think though that I can go in and dig a little deeper and figure out what converts to a reservation. But I wanted to go in and see. Okay, they go here now. What Jackrabbit says that they go there was X amount on. If you look at your individual, there's so many that come through. I wanted to verify that number. So if you go to your analytics, then you can verify if this is equivalent.
Well, see, I have two websites, so it's easy for me to know what comes through Jackrabbit or not, because I have
a
specific
separate
website for Jackrabbit, so I know how many. So what I'm curious is, for 2,000 clicks, for what we're paying, what's the cost per click? Because aren't we paying how much a month?
$1,200
a month.
24 cents a click. I did the math for you. Remember our email back in
Yeah, time? But 2,038 clicks based on 1,200.
Well, you have to, you're going to look at a small data sample, I'd look at the year, the annual year.
Okay.
And that's to give you a...
All right, so that's what we should do then. I'd like to look at that at the end of the year.
It's 24 cents a click. So in other words, remember our conversations back, we were looking at pay-per-click. Is anybody here do pay-per-click?
I do.
Websites?
Mm-hmm.
What's your average pay-per-click, or would you like to say?
Honestly, I wouldn't know it because my IT guy does it all.
Yeah,
so.
It's probably... Yeah.
It's 30 cents it's for me.
Oh, no, it's more than that.
Yeah, if you're playing in the hotel pay-per-click, you could be 50 cents, 75 cents. Above,
I'm thinking it's more like $1 to $1.50 on our end.
What
we're
saying is that reservations that the Jackrabbit is over, but remember, Jackrabbit's driving this group of traffic to your site, so then we have to look at this ROI that's on this sheet. It's two things that are going on here, so we need to understand both when you look at the value of it. So, you know, I mean, for me, for 24 cents a click for 1200 that is driving traffic to your website is a very good investment right now, because let's just look at mail. Let's snail mail. 44 cents, the cost to print up the thing up, and you're going to get maybe, what, a 3% return on that. So,
yeah, Jackrabbit, for me, you know, I have 12 rooms. I've got the smallest hotel in this room, and it does not pay for me to do pay-per-click. Jackrabbit is a really good benefit for, you know, a small hotel, but I would venture to say that when I had the Days Inn, it was a good benefit for a medium-sized hotel in this community. So I, you know, it worked well for me as a branded hotel too, but as the smallest hotel in this room, it really works well for me to not have to pay 75 cents per click, and I think it's a great benefit to offer, but we're actually getting off of topic here, so let's stay on our website stat, please.
And you do have that on the agenda anyway.
That's right.
To talk about Jackrabbit.
Okay.
Oh, to answer your question, it was 13%. Jane?
What was?
You asked me what the percent was for 13%.
Any other questions, or I'll sit down?
Thank you. Before we go any further, I am remiss to mention to you that John Myers and I have been working on the TOT and have in the room that the travel research figures, the reporting for Morro Bay is not every hotel. It's usually only the branded hotels that report, because it's a difficult report and very time-consuming to fill out, and so very few independents fill it out. So it's just a smattering of who we are. But it gives us an idea of where we're at. Gives us kind of a broad idea of where we're at in the market. So, John?
I think that was a pretty thorough introduction. Basically, what we looked at was current month and year-to-date numbers. We used the August numbers here. And here, year-to-date, I believe, is January 1st through August 31st, as opposed to year-to-date, we look at in the TOT reports of year starting in July. And then we expanded using not just occupancy and ADR, which we've got in the TOT reports, but we added RevPAR to this as well. And then compared ourselves on the top to kind of our neighbors north and south up and down the coast, the total central coast numbers that come off of Smith Travel, and then to the entire state of California, just to see how we stack up next to the large picture, if you will. And then down below where we talk about specifically Morro Bay, what I was thinking, the TBID's been around for, you know, slightly over a year now, and probably we should start seeing some results of the activities of this group, you know, sometime over the next year, I would think. Should start showing up in the statistics. So, to me, looking at a historical comparison is always very useful. So, I went back to the old TOT reports, started back in 2006, brought it up to 2010, and then year-to-date 2011. For both occupancy, ADR, and RevPAR. So I think between those three historical comparisons, we should be able to have some idea of some impact of the effects of this group over the next, as it become more relevant, I think, over the next year or so. Hopefully this could be beneficial, you know, for individual hoteliers as well, looking at your business and comparing it to the competition.
I just want to go back and explain to the audience the difference between ADR, which is average daily rate, so you take in all of the receipts and you divide it by the room rentals and you get your ADR, number of rooms rented. RevPAR is the revenue per available room. So if we have 918 rooms available and we sell $10,000 worth of receipts, you divide 10,000 by the 918 by the full amount of rooms available. In hotel land, we do a lot of our marketing based, actually, we do our marketing based on RevPAR, not ADR. ADR is a reflection on what we've done. RevPAR allows us to forecast. So revenue per available room is an extremely important number for hoteliers. That's my explanation. I think there might be some questions.
I have a question. On this year-to-date, 2011, was that just a typo? Down below, to the left, it says year-to-date, 2011.
I'm sorry, that would be fiscal year 2011. So it's
oh,
the year
so it's
ending
fiscal.
June 30th.
Okay.
So these three down below are the fiscal years. The above are the calendar years.
Okay. That's,
and that's
where I was.
That's why you look at, there'll be a slight difference in the numbers when you look at year-to-date numbers. It's because it's based on a different year.
Okay. Thank you.
So the question is, does the board want to continue to see a report like this that has reflection on RevPAR and ADR based off of these two reports? Because if you look, again, I want to say that only a few hotels in Morro Bay report on the Smith Travel, but we all report on TOT. So, and I should say that in Oxnard, Santa Barbara, San Luis, Monterey, Central Coast, California, again, it's usually only the branded hotels that report for Smith Travel. So that would give us an idea of how our branded hotels are doing, and of course, when they're impacted, the independents are impacted. It's kind of...
I mean, it's safe to conclude that there is a direct correlation there.
That's right, yeah.
I like this report a lot. I also think we can get the same information from Morro Bay just by our taxes that we pay and our revenue, because we know how many rooms, we know what we're getting, therefore we know what our average RevPAR would be.
Right, we can get all the information from Morro Bay. What I'm asking is, do you want to see the exercise of reflecting the greater out through the state? I mean, that kind of gives us an idea of where we sit.
I would like to see the actuals from Morro Bay. In other words, taken from, instead of just who's reporting.
The numbers below, those are actual Morro Bay. Those are coming off the TOT reports.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. And so I just want to be able to understand.
Per available room, whatever your amount of revenue is, you divide it into your entire inventory. You use your entire inventory as the scale.
So for clarification, John, these numbers on top, the Morro Bay column, you took our current TOT numbers and you got those calculations from the City of Morro Bay's TOT report, not Smith Travel, correct?
On the above part, the top part, where the first line that says Morro Bay, that's Smith Travel.
That's Smith Travel. Okay,
everything
so the
below.
Item below is where you got from TOT.
Correct.
Okay, that's what I wanted clarification.
So the above, where we're all scaled together, is based off Smith Travel. And then when you look at our own ADR with all of our hoteliers reporting, you see that, when you look at our own RevPAR with all of our hoteliers reporting, Jane, you'll see that it's significantly higher when you have all of our hoteliers, when you have our Morro Bay City report, instead of the Smith Travel, which I was explaining to you, only gleans, those. A few of our branded hotels.
So my two cents, if I was looking at this report, I love this report, by the way. The only thing I would think, and this is obviously up for discussion, is to just not it's confusing to see the Smith Travel Morro Bay. I feel like because not everybody's reporting, maybe just leave Morro Bay out of there because you can compare it down below with what is actual and true, and then leave all the other communities up above. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like right now, this information on the top line, not to say that it's false, but it's skewed numbers. It's only who's reporting to Smith Travel.
But that's how it is with all those other communities, too.
That's
so if
true.
You pull
that's
that
true.
Out, you're not getting a, a true, excuse me,
But some of the other communities like Santa Barbara and Monterey, they have more branded hotels that report versus Morro Bay that doesn't.
Right. Right, but it's based on, RevPAR is based on your inventory. So it's you're going to get the same.
It's still skewed somewhat. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'd also think that if you stay with Jane's numbers, the $49 RevPAR for 2010 for Morro Bay, and you compare it to Morro Bay by itself at $46, saying the branded name, the branded hotel was actually at a higher RevPAR of $3 per room.
Which gives you maybe a little bit to realize, oh, well, maybe Santa Barbara and Oxnard could be a $3 difference. Or
maybe your individual hotel here might
be way different. Right. Okay.
I do want to tell you that when you look at, you look at Morro Bay on its own, when you look at California, you have to remember California and also the Central Coast has Morro Bay in those figures.
Right.
That's what I wanted to point out to you. Okay, so do we want to continue on with this report? Because this is something that John has worked on and put time in on, and if you're not feeling like it's going to be helpful for us and useful when we are looking at our marketing adventures, I don't want to have him continue on doing it. I don't think that that would be fair to him. But if you glean that there's useful information here for what we want to do and how we want to drive our businesses, then I say we continue. I find it useful, but I don't want to be the only one.
So here's
that.
My question. My question goes back to the people that are marketing us. How will this report help you better market us, John?
Well, I think that, you know, we certainly look at TOT, and increasing TOT is our principal goal. But I think in the advertising, we also have to look at ad response and how, you know, I look at the website, and if we're continuing to increase visitors to the website, we're increasing interest, and that's what the marketing does. When the time comes to sell and have them, you know, take their credit card and go into the hotel, my, you know, involvement is more limited. But I look at response. But I certainly, you know, anticipate and hope, you know, the TOT increases and RevPAR goes up, because that's all related to increasing the ad response too.
So then I don't think you answered my question. The question was, does this report have anything to do with the way you're advertising? I guess you're saying no. But for us, it's good information.
I think that it would, you know, if I look at this and I look at our competitors, it makes me, you know, I don't know if I need any stimulus to be more aggressive or to do harder work for you. But, you know, I would certainly look at this. And as John said, you know, I keep going to these meetings hoping to see that we're going to be increasing the TOT as a result of our marketing. But I think this data is helpful and it helps me. But as far as, you know, exactly what we would do with marketing, you know, that's going to be controlled by ad response.
See, to me, I look at this and I'm going, oh, of all these places, Morro Bay is the most affordable. So that's why I'm looking at this for advertising. And with the holidays coming up and everybody's thinking about where we're going to put our money, people do still want to travel.
Okay, we'll get to that.
That's the funding pricing guidelines for events.
Okay, that's under that other subcommittee. Yeah. Okay, great. So we will add this to future agenda items. Now we will move to the website subcommittee, which we did not meet. So we do not have a report, although I do think that it's important that we schedule a meeting this next month. So if you are on the website subcommittee, if you could hang back after this meeting, we won't take the committee's time to listen to a scheduling issue. Hotel packaging subcommittee report, did you meet? I will take that as a no. Pardon? I can tell you if you want me to look it up.
No, we didn't meet.
Okay, this is the committee that we're trying to figure out what is our mission of that committee. I think we were asking that before, right? John?
Did you ask that when I was gone?
No, I think all we did last time was figure out who was on it, and then we kind of let it drop from there, so we need to pick it up.
Okay, so the mission of that committee is to develop package ideas that we can do as a greater got it as a greater bid, as a greater group of hoteliers, like and something that everyone can buy into.
If I could just add, I mean, I think that's really, to give an example, is what we did, because when we had specials and deals, we really don't have any real packages being put together right now by the group. So we just went in and went to everybody's website and took the current packages that they had, so we had specials and deals. Ideally would be to have the subcommittee get together and talk with the hoteliers and come up with different packages, certainly packaging around events to encourage people. And then getting back, and I know we don't want to readdress the whole aspect of this report, but how it affects marketing. But that truly affects marketing, because for me to advertise affordability, I need packages with a certain price. So, I mean, if we go down to something that says, you know, packages starting at, you know, $50 or $60, I mean, that's an example. I'm not saying we're necessarily going to do that, but that does say for affordability. So that's kind of where I could use the help with the packaging committee.
And if I, Sheriff Solo, if I could jump in, I know Joe Woods, the Recreation and Parks Director for the city, is very interested in packaging. He's got a slate of activities that are scheduled for next year, including just a ton of softball tournaments that are coming into the city. And I know that he's very excited about the potential of packaging, similar to what they did last year with the card that they gave those participants. So that was. And actually, he was thinking about coming today, but I told him, why don't you hold off. And then the other thing I would throw out is to touch base, and I think the members are already aware of this, but to touch base with a high school. At our last high school boosters meeting, we talked about the CIT wrestling tournament, which is coming up in January, and we may be a little bit late for that, but they've got 40 teams pre-registered, and they're probably taking up to 70 teams. So just to throw those little things out that might spur us into meeting sooner than later.
We're getting requests for things like the Miracle Mile for kids that would like to be able to set up packages for that event. I know we talked about links for the Harbor Festival weekend and the Avocado Margarita Festival weekend that we can put together as a package for people to come up to take advantage of those. So, yeah.
Whoever else is on that meeting, also the Morro Bay Merchant Association, came to me as a representative of this board and had said they had some street fairs going on and wanted to possibly package with us as well. So I told them that I would put that to them.
So there you go. Get ready to work. Get right as crap.
We'll have a report next meeting.
Okay. Thanks, John. Okay. Yeah, there you go. So now we will move on to the creative subcommittee report. And the creative, obviously, was our visitor's guide. And now I see that we're moving into some new creative for this year. And I am on the creative subcommittee. It was myself, Peter Candela, and Mike Casola. And let me tell you who's on it now. I believe that it is Karen, myself, and... Hang on. Let me go to my subcommittees. I have you all in here somewhere.
And we had a few members from the promotions committee on that as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were working with promotions so that we didn't have any cross doings. Oh, I don't know. I'll find you afterwards. I have you in here somewhere. You won't get far. I'll email you, whoever you are, you third person. And we'll maybe get a creative meeting going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's do that so we don't hold up the time here. Okay, and now we are going to move to our public relations subcommittee. And
we're very happy. After that, they went over to the Natural History Museum and had champagne and oysters and toured through the museum and then came over to Harbor Hut for dinner. And John and his wife Helen sat through the whole day, which was great. So thank you, John, for doing that, and Joan for doing the oyster tour. I have to say we had a lot of community involvement and help. I want to kind of thank the Natural History Museum, Mission Linen supplied linens, Grassy Farms supplied the oysters, Giovanni was great. Giovanni chucked and barbecued the oysters out there at the Natural History Museum, which was amazing. I heard they were just eating those oysters like crazy. He couldn't chuck them fast enough and cook them quick enough. Tolosa Wine did the wine for the actual oyster tour. Letitia did the champagne for the Natural History Museum. Of course, Harbor Hut did the dinner, so we thank them. We had the Anderson Inn. They stayed at as well as the Beach Bungalow, the Embarcadero Inn, and the Lost Serena Inn. And, of course, Lost Isle. Wendy did the oyster tour for Lost Isle. So it was another great collaboration with the county and with us, and community stepped up and really helped us out. I want to thank Karen and John and myself. The three of us were the ones that were kind of trying to coordinate all of that. And, of course, Linda Parker and Cheryl Cummings with the county. We all kind of worked on this together. So I think it was hopefully we'll turn around and get a lot of feedback now, and they'll write about Morro Bay and be very, very happy. And then I understand Stacy Jacobs with Past Robles brought in a fam trip, and Joan can probably tell us a little bit more about that oyster tour.
The day I was on my way to do the oyster tour spiel for that fam trip, I got a call from the Paso Robles Wine Alliance saying, "Hey, we loved your oyster tour. We saw the feed, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we've been out on the bay, and we want to do an oyster tour, and we want to do it on Thursday." Okay, we'll see you there. So we had 16 more riders come through that Thursday morning, and they were phenomenal. This was a really great group of writers. There was a guy there from he writes for The New Yorker and Vogue, and he loved it. He's like, "This is unbelievable." They took tons of pictures. There was a gal there from Washington, D.C., who writes for their big newspaper there, but she also writes for their society pages. They were really, really well-qualified group of writers who were looking for a culinary travel adventure. They understood farming, which is why they understood that we were unable to pull oysters from the bay due to rain. And so they really appreciated the whole aquaculture experience of it. There were two writers there from Chicago. One writes for a food and wine magazine, and the other one writes for the Chicago, whatever it is, the Herald. And they loved Morro Bay. What was really great is the second the bus pulled up and they got off the bus, I had arranged for the two dogs. It was 10 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, well, it's a little early to have wine. Let's have two dogs come down. Two dogs pulled up with their bicycle and the coffee cart, and they went crazy. They started taking pictures of it and tweeting it back to their office mates, and just it was really great. They were like, "You got to be kidding me." And the guy, he was so cute. Josh is like a surfer guy. He's like, "You want some cream in that coffee?" I mean, he was great. He was like quintessential Morro Bay moment, you know, and they ate it up because they're all from back east, and it was very California and, you know, laid back. And so, and the bay was beautiful. We never saw Morro Rock. It was fogged in the entire time. I kept saying to them, "And it's 586 feet." So they never saw the rock the whole day. Just one of those days. And but it was great, really well received, and at the end, I think that they were very pleased, and we'll definitely get some press out of that. And I definitely think that we should align ourselves. And Stacy Jacobs brings 2 to 4 of these tours through a year, and she really does a great job of qualifying the riders. So she is definitely somebody to partner with, because she's really interested in the experience that we have to offer here. So. That's that.
Can I just add one thing? That's interesting that, and this would definitely be for future discussion, but we may want to talk about this. You know, maybe there is, beyond just the writer, you know, maybe there's some more partnerships that we could be doing with the Wine Alliance. I know in Pismo, you know, we're starting to reach out more to the slow vintners. And again, they need different things to sell as we need, and we've got this incredible wine region, and their group is pretty aggressive, and as you saw from the writers that they brought in, I mean, they know what they're doing. You know, maybe that might be something we might want to talk about for a future agenda, how we might be able to reach out to them. And it's interesting that, you know, Mental Marketing is the one that handles Paso Robles, and I am working with them on this co-op with the county seabed, so maybe there's some, you know, opportunities there we can work together.
Good. I sure hope so. So we will move on to the Tourism Business Improvement District Percentage Subcommittee meeting, and that's where John here has been working on some stuff. Here we go.
I think the idea, and I give you copies of it, yeah, just for this side. I think the idea that came up at the last meeting was to come up with some kind of a guideline when somebody comes in and requests funds for an event or something that they're putting on, a fundraiser, whatever it might be, that says if we give X amount of money, how many rooms do we have to sell for the T-bid to recoup the amount of money that we put into it. So here's an effort at that. And this is just something that can sit in the back of a file someplace to refer to it every once in a while. The base information, again, comes from the Transient Occupancy Summary Report. And on there, just the summary of information, average number of rooms available were 915, peak season ADR, $114, off-season ADR, $79, annuals, $97. So there was kind of the A and B approach at looking this was, if somebody came in and requested $1,000 or a multiple of $1,000 or some fraction of $1,000, 50% of that, how many rooms would we have to sell to recover our investment in that event? I decided to go take a look at it, in the three views, off-season, peak season, and average, because it does vary quite a bit. So the way it works out, if somebody requests $1,000, we've got to sell 345 rooms for one night on an average ADR rate to recover our $1,000. So I think it's kind of straightforward. The other way to look at that, what's the value to the T-bid per 100 rooms sold was the second approach we could take. And again, at the same annual ADR peak and off-season ADRs, 100 rooms at peak season ADR is worth $341 to the TOT. The last number, 915, that's the average number of rooms we had for sale last year on a daily basis. So if somebody came in and said, we'll sell every room you've got, that would give us $3,129 a day. I just thought that would be kind of curious to find out what the max would be at peak season. So hopefully this would be helpful just as a guideline for the board to use in the future. And any suggestions, comments, or questions?
So when John and I discussed doing this, we discussed, do we want to put, based it on 500 rooms and 1,000 rooms, and we decided to go with the actual average number of rooms because the thing is, if somebody comes back and randomly says to us, we're requesting $30,000 for our startup event, and we're going to sell you out that weekend. Well, when you sell us out that weekend, the bid is only going to make at peak, it's not going to recoup. And so not that all of our funding will ever be based solely on this. This is a guideline for us financially to understand what it takes for us to make $30,000. It would be, we would have to say to them, okay, you're going to sell us out times 10, right? Times 10, right? So that's what, we need. I think it gives people a better understanding because what happens is when they see our overall budget, they say, oh, well, we can request $30,000 because it's only X percent of our overall budget. But in order for us to get there, this just shows them the path of how we get there. Any questions on that? And the reason why we just did it 3%, we talked about doing it at 2% and 3%. We're returning to 3% on November 1st, and so we just did it 3% to make it more simple. Questions for John, I think, if you want to gear them towards.
Well, not really a question, but just, these are just actual dollars, so the city's only getting 2% of this, right?
10.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right, yeah. I was thinking, well, the general fund's 10%, but then it's only 2% that actually comes to us.
Well, starting November 1st, we'll be back to
3%. Three, yeah.
So starting November 1st, we're back to at 3%, this is what our amount would be. So this is it. Is that correct? Go ahead,
yeah,
John.
I was going to say, we did it at 2% and 3%, and then in process of doing this, the city council said, let's go back to 3%, so we just said, let's make it easy.
Okay.
If I could just add one thing, and I don't know how you would do this mathematically, but just another consideration as you look at the value. You know, if you take $30,000 out of the marketing budget, then you at some point have to ask yourself, what would we have made from that? So that's another consideration. It's a formula to analyze an event, but the other part of it is what does that event bring to the table? And, you know, with obviously with Sunset, they brought, you know, you had the editor-in-chief of Sunset magazine talking about how great our food was. That's one value. And then also the promotion that they put into the magazine itself. So
the destination shot.
Yeah.
That
I mean, all of those
shot
things
was phenomenal.
Have to be considered too.
So I would look for a motion from the board here. If you all think that this is a strong piece to add into the request for funding mechanism that we already have going, the form that we already have going, I would like to see this added to that form. I think that John did a great job really putting this together, and I have to thank him immensely because on the telephone I kind of machine-gunned him with what I was thinking, and he went with it. And that worked for both of us. So,
Chair Sulu, what you want to do is bring it back at your next meeting for
okay.
a motion, because we generally don't want to take motions under reports.
Oh,
great. We need
gotcha.
To have an action item. So what we can do is also have this as a future agenda item, and it'll just be a simple you approve. You approve the form and such. So it'll be real simple, and you don't have to have any more discussion about it.
Great.
But we want to do it that way.
Thanks. Okay, got it. So the form on financial support guideline. Okay, so great work, John. Now to our Visitor and Conference Bureau report, County Business Improvement District report, and to that I'll turn it over to Michelle.
Hello. So yesterday we had our San Luis Obispo County VCB meeting. couple things I'll just rattle off first about Sunset the Saver event yesterday. Currently, as of they had a meeting with Sunset the day before our meeting, so Tuesday, there was 121,865,000,000 media impressions that were done, which have Morro Rock on them, or that's their media impressions, and obviously our rock was the destination. That's amazing.
Sorry, can you repeat that number again?
121,865,000,000 media impressions. Okay, and that was website, that was articles, that was, and this is what's the most exciting part of it, is that's as of Tuesday. That's not all of the travel writers that came in. That's not Discovery TV that was there. That's not anything else that's been put out yet from the event. This was just everything leading up pretty much to the event. That's amazing numbers. I mean, I think if anybody marketing-wise can, I mean, it's just, there was 60 print media journalists that were there at the event. So these 60 print media journalists are going to turn around now and go write about it. So those impressions are going to even go up even higher. So I thought it was a pretty wow factor behind this event to show that it wasn't just about, you know, little Morro Bay. It's about the entire county. But Morro Bay had that destination shot, and I'm sure they'll be writing about Morro Bay. So I just – that really hit home to me a lot. A couple other things. The totals on the visitors, there was 5,718 visitors that went through – the event that weekend. So that's kind of exciting. A lot of locals, but also, of course, a lot of out-of-towners. So the average person that it was out-of-town visitor spent about $402 between lodging, food, gas, and their purchases. So about $402 per person for the out-of-towners is kind of what they did. There was basically an economic impact study that's very preliminary. It's not set in stone. They're still trying to get all these numbers together. But I thought those few little things from the event were pretty exciting. There was a lot of money that came in. You know, hotel, motel, bed tax was about $50,000. And then you've got your sales and property tax, which is, you know, close to another like $80,000 that came in on that event alone. So that's some big numbers for our county. Obviously, it wasn't just Morro Bay, but it definitely encompassed Morro Bay. So I thought that was really neat. And at our meeting, they did talk about Battle of the Bay and the Oyster Tour and how successful they both were. And Sunset wants to definitely hope to do it again. They really were excited. Your name had came up that you'll be the new host for everything. So be prepared for that one. But it was really exciting to see that. A couple other little things just to note on RevPAR stats, since we now are hopefully all understanding RevPAR stats. The state, this is for September, The state is up 4%. Our San Luis Obispo Paso Robles is down 0.9%. So that if you look at that with Morro Bay, we're kind of right in there with our San Luis Obispo Paso Robles area. Santa Barbara, Santa Maria, they were up 3.1%. Monterey is up 11.5%. So again, just going, Monterey got a bunch of grant money, and so it's possible that some of that grant money that they've done has really helped them, and we're seeing that with their numbers. I think that's something that, yeah, $1 million in grant money. So that's something when we get into the later new business discussion may come up under the slow VCB stuff. So, but overall.
Thank you, Michelle. So we'll accept those monthly reports for file under Section 5, please. Thank you. And we will move on to unfinished business, the discussion regarding the Jack Rabbit Reservation System and reservation issues. The reason we moved this out to this month was because both Jane and Karen weren't here, and there was some discussion that wanted to take place, and we wanted to make sure we had a full board for that.
I think we've already addressed that with our web stats, et cetera, and we're just going to leave it go and then revisit it.
I think what we were looking at was some technical difficulties that some of the properties were having with the Jackrabbit system. It looks to me in reviewing the website now that a lot of those problems have been worked out. And so that kind of solved my problem. We were hoping at the time that we'd set the meeting up that a representative of Jackrabbit would be here to discuss how those problems were going to be worked through. But I think overall satisfaction is yeah.
Yeah, because of timing, we've taken we had 2 months, and so we had 2 months to work through the issues, and they're pretty resolved. I did go back and look. There was some discussion about a third of our hotels not being able to be scraped by Jackrabbit, but when I went back through and actually did the figures, it's 8% of the rooms, the total room inventory for the city, only 8% is unable to be scraped.
Yeah, I think that's a little unfair because you've got hotels that are 8 rooms and you've got hotels that are 40 rooms, and some of these hotels that can't be scraped, I think we have to look at businesses rather than.
But, Jane, percentage. Some of them can't be scraped because they don't even have a website.
No, I understand that, but I'm on the site right now, and I know that some of these, like Front Street Inn and Pleasant Inn.
You know, I know that they're with Jackrabbit, you can also choose to have rates posted or not choose. And there may be some of the higher-end properties that choose not to have rates posted because it makes them look so much less competitive with some of the properties that have such lower rates.
Well, I know that in Fireside Inn, they don't have any rates posted, and they've got their own website. I was just talking about percentage. Jackrabbit does allow all the individual hotels to do an additional website to be able to post, and that's their option that they can have, and that's what we did. So.
Right, but again, I go back to some of them don't even have a website, and I think that overall, Jackrabbit is good for the entire group of hotels as a city.
But what I'm saying, I agree with you. What I'm saying is that even if they don't have a website, they can easily develop one, and Jackrabbit will let them do that for free. And that's what the hoteliers that aren't on Jackrabbit need to understand and do.
I know. I've spoke directly with a couple. It's at some point it's their choice. There's nothing that we can do about it. I agree. The offering is there, and as long as it's on the platter, you know, when they're hungry, they'll eat from the platter, and that's how it is. So,
well, I think one reason we use Jackrabbit too is again just to make our website competitive.
Absolutely.
And that was really how it all started, because if you look at our competitors, and not necessarily within our county, but if you looked at Santa Barbara, you look at Monterey, you look at Oxnard, I mean, they all have a booking agent that's on the website. And, you know, at some point, and I don't think we're there now because we'd spent quite a bit of time getting this set up and the development of it, but we can certainly revisit, you know, Jackrabbit at any time as the booking company, because picked it predominantly because they were working with the county. And when I talked with the county VCB, they didn't seem to have real issues with it. But at some point, you know, we could certainly look at, you know, other vendors for that. There are different ones. But, you know, I'll just wait to hear from you when you want to, you know, explore that.
Okay. I think now that we've had the system in place for 3 or 4 months, it might be a good idea for Jackrabbit to come in and make a presentation on sites that they are, hotelier sites that they are still having problems, technical problems with, so that we can really put in perspective who doesn't want to be part by their own choice, properties that don't want to be part by their own choice or can't because of their own limitations on website, and what properties Jackrabbit might be having problems with from a technical point of view.
Would you like for me to have him come to the next meeting then?
I could do that. Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's fine. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what I would encourage, if anybody has anything between now and say the, you know, week or couple weeks prior to the next meeting that you want him to address specifically. I mean, I can talk to him, Karen, about what you just suggested, which
kind of a change of times for them now that they're getting funding from BIDs instead of just cities. Cheryl, at the county level at our BID Alliance meeting, we all sat down and this was a big discussion. So she sent this out, and I thought it was no sense in duplicating what she's already started. I kind of wanted, just for discussion, us to go over these rankings so we could go back to the BID Alliance as well as go back to the VCB and kind of let them know what we as a BID are expecting out of them. You know, the main focus is where do we see the VCB, what are our expectations for them, and, you know, me personally, I see them as kind of this umbrella. You know, there's no reason for us to duplicate some things that they can do. I mean, if there's certain fam trips they can bring in or grant writers they can bring in that we may not as a BID do, then why not do some collaboration and work together so we're not duplicating efforts and kind of spinning our wheels. Let's try to work together a little bit more on a collaborative thing as a county level, because you do have, you know, if I'm going to New York City, Little or Morro Bay may not go to New York City and market, but San Luis Obispo County may want to go to New York City and market. So that's kind of the idea here of what I'm getting at. So I don't know if everybody had a chance to look this over and rank them and if we want to just go down the line or how we want to do this, let me know. We'll make this quick. Who wants to start? Anybody?
First of all, did everybody get the email and open it? Okay, so let's make that clear. Did everybody get that?
Yes.
Okay. Now that we have that, we could do a ranking like Michelle had.
When you say ranking, you mean what?
Levels of importance.
Okay.
I got from this email that by ranking you meant that there was from 1 to 12, there's 12 things here. Which one is number one important to your group and which one is least important?
Right.
I thought that the advertising, co-op advertising was really important. The grants part I found very interesting because, like you were just saying about Monterey, everything's gone up in Monterey and they're attributing it to the grants. So I think if the grants could be gotten and filtered down to the other areas, that would be terrific.
Both Santa Barbara and Monterey have grant writers that get their tourism grants for them. Monterey County got over $1 million in grants this past year for their tourism budget. And, you know, we have nobody in our county writing right now. So I would put that, for me, I'd rank that way up there because all this other stuff can be paid for by that money that comes in.
Yeah, so that's why I'm looking at those two things as most important.
Okay, so Jane, you said grants was the first, and did you say the second?
I would get grants first, then co-op advertising. That would come under what the grants can do. Actually, the grants can do everything. Okay. You know, film commission to me is part of an event. So, unless that's part of advertising.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Just because I'm the newest guy on the block, I feel like I'm, you know, the least understanding of an awful lot of this stuff, but I looked at this thing and I began to think that in the last 18 months, I think all these BIDs in the county came into existence. And before there was kind of a box, and it was headed by the BCB, and all the cities funneled money into that. And now the BIDs came along, and we've gone outside the box. And so what we're doing is making the box bigger to just encompass all this, these new entities. And to me, it's time to kind of reinvent this whole thing, I think. So I had real troubles of ranking something 1 to 12 when I don't know if those are the things to even be ranking. I don't know if the approach we're taking is the approach we should be taking. I think we need to get some people to rethink this whole thing. If we're going up to compete against Monterey and some other places, we've got to be a little more ingenious. I like some of the comments John made earlier in the discussion about the Wine Alliance, that, well, Paso Robles recognizes they've got something to sell, you know, and it comes in a glass and it grows out in the field, and they recognize we've got something to sell, and it's basically out in the water kind of thing. Maybe we just need to rethink as a group, and when I say group, I don't mean us. I mean everybody in the county, the BIDs, the BCB, the Wine Alliance people, everybody. Put our heads together and say, what is the best way we can all collectively spend what is now a fairly large amount of money collectively through the BIDs? So I have trouble moving forward and ranking this thing, so I'd probably be quiet through the rest of the conversation just for those reasons.
Yeah, I do also think we need to be careful ranking this. This came out of this County CBID Alliance. The county, what is the county alliance, you're asking? So the CBID, the county version of us, is the county unincorporated area. Pismo's Paso, Pismo's TBID chair and vice chair. You get the idea here as I roll on. San Luis Obispo's chair and vice chair. So we all sit in this room and we say, what are you doing that works? What are you doing that works? Where do we need help? What are we all doing where we're kind of overlapping each other, where maybe we don't need to try and spend those dollars? So we are trying to figure that out as what we're calling ourselves is just an alliance of people who meet. Do we have any teeth or anything? Not really, no. So they're trying to figure out now, going back to the VCB, which is our county visitor and conference bureau, which was always our county marketing overall mechanism. They're asking us as cities and unincorporated areas of the county, basically all the bids in the county, we are asking ourselves as an alliance, all of you bids out there, what do you think it's important for our VCB to do for us as we continue to fund them? Because let it not be lost on this board that we spent, and somebody can help me with a number, $24,500 to support the VCB this year. So what we're basically saying is, what are we looking for that 24-5?
If I could just add with that BID Alliance meetings, and I go as a representative of the mental marketing is there as a representative of PASO.
Right.
I'm there as representing. And what I got out of that meeting, and I completely agree with what John said, is that everybody wants them to be the marketing organization for the county experience, period. But what does that entail then? And so I think they're searching for how do they become that and how do they achieve that? Whereas, and that's maybe where they need guidance, but basically, you know, I've been around a while, you know, and seen different the VCB evolution, and I think that's what they need to become. They need to be going out to trade shows, doing different things that we don't have to do as individual BIDs to save us money, so we promote our experience, whether it be Morro Bay, Pismo, Paso Robles. They market the entire county experience. And it's hard because you have all these other BIDs doing this thing, and originally, you know, all this money was going to go to one organization and they were going to promote the entire county. For a lot of reasons, that didn't happen. But I think John's right in that they just have to go back, kind of back and reinvent themselves now and realize that all these BIDs exist and they're going to be promoting themselves, but how do they become the marketing entity that does things that don't cost us money? like the co-op program and all of those kinds of things. And every meeting that I've gone to, one was the county EVC meeting, the Economic Vitality meeting, and it came out of that, even that meeting, and you had wineries there and agriculture, and there was some tourism people there. Everybody said, we need to market the entire county, that we need this county experience. We're going to compete with Monterey and Santa Barbara. And so I think that it's the CVB that really, maybe with some guidance from the BIDs, which is what this is about, really has to totally reinvent themselves and become a true marketing organization. And in fairness to them, what they've become and what the CEO has become is a fundraiser. You know, unfortunately, he spent a lot of his time going out and collecting money. And that's the reality, but it's also a bad thing because it's hard to get the money when you don't have the marketing behind it. And I think even understanding what a marketing plan is, I mean, I think they need an advertising plan, a marketing plan, not research, but saying, this is what we're going to do. These are the shows we're going to go to. These are the things you don't have to do as a group. Like when I attended the LA Times Food and Wine Festival, it would have been great to have the county there, you know, with wineries pouring. I mean, those are the kinds of opportunities that I think the county CVB, VCB needs to do to justify their existence.
So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking that now that we've had this conversation, it might be better for you to take time to consider this, to rank them, and then maybe send your rankings back to Michelle to compile and bring back to us as a board for the next meeting. Michelle, would you be willing to accept those?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And remember also, if you've got any ideas that aren't on here, put them on there. It's not okay. Saying that these are the only things that can be ranked.
Right.
This was just kind of what the Alliance had came up with really quickly on a quick little post-it. It wasn't something we spent tons of time, and you may all have some better ideas that, you know, that's what's great about having John on here, who does think a little outside the box and isn't always in the hotel wheel. It's actually a great thing because it brings other things for us to think about sometimes. And again, if you've got other ideas that you think, you know, could be in the VCB's purview, put them on there because, you know, and rank them where you think they may be.
Michelle, I don't want to speak out of turn. Did you get...
It's a direct back to Michelle. Okay? Everybody got that? Because we don't want to break the Brown Act here. Just pointing that out. I know you're all aware of the Brown Act, but... okay, so... So that will be continued to the next meeting. The next thing we have is the discussion of the fulfillment payment to the Chamber of Commerce. And I brought this forward because we worked so hard, and I'm going to show it again, on this wonderful piece of fulfillment, which is our visitor's guide that we have for hotels. And last year we were paying the chamber to do the printing of the hotel guide and all this other stuff for us that they put into the fulfillment envelopes. But now we don't have those printing costs. And what I'd like to do is, you know, last year we were in kind of a hurry to get started as a TBID. And so we just kind of threw a number up there because we didn't really have any experience as to what the fulfillment would cost us. We threw a number up there for a budget for fulfillment. And we did not spend all of that last year, and so some of that rolled over into our budget this year, which was really great. Last year we spent $7,500 on fulfillment, and we had budgeted $20,000, I think. And so what I want to do is go back and look at the fulfillment, not what piece of fulfillment we're doing, because we already know what we're doing. And we did this piece of fulfillment through our trade show subcommittee. So what I want to go back is look at the fulfillment payment to the Chamber of Commerce, do some research into how much it costs to do mailings and what our actual costs and fees are, and then basically have us develop a chart or kind of like a contract with the Chamber of Commerce for per piece fulfillment. Using a subcommittee from our group and meeting maybe with a subcommittee from their board. I would be, since I brought this forward, obviously, I'm willing to do it, and we could use the fulfillment subcommittee, except we're one person short, and I would ask that maybe somebody who really likes to put numbers together and crunch numbers maybe volunteer to be on the subcommittee, because it's a lot. It's going to be a lot of number crunching.
I have a question. Wouldn't that kind of come under the hotel packaging subcommittee due to fulfillment?
Mm-mm.
The fulfillment that we're talking about is what's going when we go to a trade show or we do a we have a response card. We direct them to morrobay.org. We direct them to the chamber, and then the chamber sends those leads out and sends that information out.
So. It really should maybe even be called ad response fulfillment, because it's fulfillment is, as you said, fulfillment is can be the piece itself, but we're really talking about how do we get these pieces out.
Well, if we just use fulfillment,
right,
that could mean this, or if we want
right.
to do a rack card
in
the future.
Case, it's really about ad how do we fulfill the ad responses.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
But it's still about fulfillment.
So the question is, do we want to use the same fulfillment people? The question is, first of all, does the board want to look at this so that we can actually put the right numbers to our line item? I think that that's pretty important. I'm talking about right budgetary numbers to our line item. And secondly, you know, do we want to continue with, you know, using the committee who's already kind of looked into it as we went through this? We've looked into a little bit about how much it would cost to mail this, what the weight of this is, how we can most easily do this with labels and blah, blah, blah.
And I wasn't disagreeing with that. I was just trying to clarify what I think that having that committee do that would be great. I just meant that it's really, we've got this done. Now the next step is how
right.
are we going to get it out to the public.
Okay.
Do we have a fulfillment committee? Okay. So it should go under that.
Okay. So what I'm saying, though, is we're one person shy on that committee. Is there a volunteer for that?
I like numbers, so
who's on that?
I can't run a hotel, but I could do numbers, so I would volunteer.
You do numbers. I like that.
But I don't do hotels.
Yeah.
Nor windows.
Or windows, yeah. So... John, you because it's going to be a lot of numbers, spreadsheets and whatnot. Okay, good.
Yeah, that's great.
Who are your other two members?
It's myself and Michelle. We sit on.
I think you and it might be a Rob Schultz question, but you, if you end up meeting with the chamber and you meet with the chamber exec, he or she is also a member of this committee. So we need to be a little bit careful there with Brown Act issues.
Okay.
Just to food for thought. And it may not be an issue because that person might be meeting outside their capacity as a TBID member, but not really. So you might need to have that member as a subcommittee.
We should come back with that information to the board just as a budgetary line, and then talk about, because we have all that information. We already have all that information from our chamber report from last year. We know how many pieces we sent out last year.
I completely understand what you're doing, and I think it's certainly worthwhile. I'm just cautioning you that if you end up meeting with a chamber exec who's a member on this board, it's going to it's not good. So I think one thing to consider is putting that member on your subcommittee.
Okay.
Or just making sure that that member isn't included in your discussions, which seems kind of odd to me. So I think we just need to maybe – it sounds like you've created your subcommittee. Let's move forward with this. But just keep that in the back of your minds that you need to be careful when you have those discussions.
Is there also a problem if members that are on that committee are also on the board of the chamber?
I don't think that's as big. Putting on my assistant city attorney hat, I don't think that's as big a concern as the other. But certainly I'll pass both those issues by Mr. Schultz.
If the chamber board is not a public board, they don't adhere to the Brown Act. Just so you know.
What if we just kept it on this board subcommittee until we got the numbers crunched, and then once we had the information, then we could go forward and add...
Yeah, I mean, I see a report coming back to you by the next meeting, you know, at the very least from the, yeah, a report of what this weighs, how much it costs, what happens if we send out 10,000 at once versus one at a time. You know, that's the kind of stuff we first need to look at. So
I have a question. Do we need to be concerned? I'm looking at our budget now, Do we need to be concerned with what is currently being spent and what...
Yeah, I would say I've already pulled some preliminary information for this year. And, you know, considering the fact that we're going to be doing absolutely no printing out of the chamber for the hoteliers, for the T-bid, and I've gone down and had this weighed, and we've sent basically 2,500 pieces out this year.
Because according to our budget, we've spent $2,574.
Yeah, and if we sent out 2,500 pieces of these, it would be $1,950. We're basically on schedule to spend somewhere between $500 and $700 a month. If we want to go to maybe $700 and hold that at $700, not to exceed $700 in fulfillment without it coming back to us, I think that would be a wise idea, because I would like this also to be a process of us not necessarily to, you know, per se audit the chamber bills that came through already, but more necessarily to look at them and look at what exactly we want to include as part of our payment structure to them.
Can I suggest that your committee go through and just actually come back with a budget proposal to maybe amend our budget for fulfillment? And look at, because I see that we're looking at business cards, we're looking at the plaque cards or rack cards and, you know, whatever it is, and maybe go through it and relook at the budget and make a statement for that. Because, you know, in my hotel, I have visitors' guides from SLO. I've got visitors' guides. Right. Why don't I have this visitors' guide in my hotel? So I think that we need to supply our hotels with visitors' guides. So I think we need to look at reprint issues and everything else and just go to... Just do your crunch your numbers.
Well, and one thing too, I think last year's budget, I think this year's budget needs to be revisited, because last year they had to print everything, and this year they have something. So, I mean, that's, I think, what we're kind of coming to everybody saying is this needs to be kind of reevaluated and looked at, because
basically the budget right now is $1,500 a month. If you take the $20,000, you divide it up, it's $1,500 a month. We're not going to be spending $1,500 a month. So, I think what Michelle was trying to say to put it in a nutshell, Michelle, maybe what you're trying to say, if I read you right, is that you would like to see the budget payments.
I think basically we need to renegotiate and revisit this line item issue and find, you know,
I think I need to provide you with a little more information, too, because I'm not comfortable paying the bills as they are now, because I don't think I have enough direction of what is an approved item on that. I don't even, frankly, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, I don't...
The Chamber and Visitor Center, and that's not, as I understand, we're not completely finished. We have another couple of meetings to resolve a couple of issues. I'd really like to get that done, since that contract is with the city. The Chamber doesn't contract with the BID. They contract with the city. And so we need to get those things ironed out before you start discussing a contract with the Chamber. Because it goes through the city. So we need to get that kind of ironed out before we go too much further.
I think you're headed down the right direction somebody making a motion to form your committee to look at what you've done to date and come back with a report at the next meeting for that. Meanwhile, I think the city is going to be finishing up with a chamber, and you can go from there. I don't want to stymie you in your process, but that's probably the first action you want to take today.
I agree, but I think also in there that we need to hold paying the bills that have already come through until we figure out exactly what on there belongs to us and what belongs to the Greater Visitor Center for retail and restaurant.
I think, how about, this might be a little extreme, but can we go as far as just allocating out, like, okay, our current budget is $1,500 per month. You've got bills that are obviously higher. Can we suspend funding completely, or should we put funding lower per month, or maybe $500 a month? We say, okay, we agree to $500 a month.
But I wouldn't – I mean, at that point, I think that you might be creating more of a problem, because what's the $500 going to go toward? You know,
so maybe just can we suspend funding completely and do no fulfillment?
I know that we've paid one bill this year already from
August.
We've paid August's bill. We have not paid July's, and we have not paid September's bill.
Okay.
That's what I know.
So I think then can we make them
– and I should say that that bill that came in was over budget substantially.
Okay. So obviously the audit needs to be done. Can we suspend funding completely for fulfillment? Is that?
No, we still want our fulfillment to go through.
Well, the other, just to throw out what you could do. I mean, we were at a $1,500 monthly, and I looked at that, frankly, as a retainer, you know, to retain the visitor center to do their work. That's one possibility. That's totally your decision, because it's out of your budget. But you obviously don't want to stop, you know, ad responses going out either. So, I mean, I that would be one thing you could do. And that's really how the bills came in at that point. You know, it was more like a $1,500 a month charge. But if you're uncomfortable with that, I don't know how you make an agreement, though, of what, you know, what to pay without having the other party here, you know. So that's the difficulty.
Well,
$1,500 was agreed upon in the past.
What I would suggest is that we look at what we've already paid, the one that was substantially higher, and the two that have come in, and we take and we pay up to the $1,500 a month. So whatever we've already overpaid, I think should be, what is the word? Credited, thank you. Credited toward the $1,500 a month. We don't exceed that $1,500 a month. We get into the point where we have our payment, and let's put a time date on this that we come back by next month. We give ourselves 30 days as a group here, John, to look at what figure we're talking about for fulfillment for the year, and if that's agreed upon by this group as a whole board, then we can move forward to negotiating with the chamber.
Could I just ask, on the budget, is $2,574 has been paid? Is that where, so that was the August bill?
Correct.
And then so there's a July and September bill that are still out there.
That's correct.
They're in the queue waiting
the
to
queue,
be paid.
And
they have not been billed to the city yet.
And those two are substantially more than $1,500 a month?
Yes.
That's correct.
They're about what the cost of the August one was.
So
it's hard to you know, midstream change course on the chamber is what I'm saying.
I agree.
Those bills also were doing the printing. These pamphlets were not mailed out for those bills. Those bills were under the old system with the other printing and so forth. So it's kind of hard to tell. You're talking apples and oranges in a way. And
so
we need to kind of sit down and reevaluate, you know, does this get put in an envelope? Does it get a sticker? How is it stamped? There's a number of little issues.
So what we need to, though, look back on those bills, at itemized bills of what we were paying for. We need to look to the future of what we are going to pay for. I say that, you know, we had a budget. We gave it to the chamber. It was $1,500 a month, and we pay up to the budget for those 3 months, no higher. And for the next month, so for October, we allocate the $1,500 payment. In November, we'll be coming back to you with what the costs should be. And again, from October 1st forward, we had this. So we should see that chamber payment
per month. And coming back in 1 month. So if
okay.
we can just condense
if
that
I could just speak to the motion selfishly, because it's going to clarify what I need to do.
Yes.
$1,500 for July, $1,500 for August, $1,500 for September. So that September billing, take out the credit.
That's right.
The overpayment in August.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So let's go to the motion for the committee, that we have the fulfillment committee established through Michelle, myself, and John. Is there anybody who would make that motion to delve into the cost of fulfillment?
I make a motion that we have the fulfillment subcommittee look that we look into
creating a fulfillment committee.
Creating a fulfillment committee to look into fulfillment. And we add John Meyer to that committee.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes. Okay. And the second motion to this fulfillment puzzle is that we approve up to the budget of $1,500 a month for the fulfillment spending for this year for July, August, and September to be released only up to the budget of $1,500 a month, receiving a credit or making the adjustment for it to be only $1,500 a month, making an adjustment off what was already paid. And that this, do we need to add the part about the committee?
You can't make a motion.
No, I'm asking, Andrea, that when somebody makes this motion, that they include, do they need to include, is that all covered under the fulfillment committee, the broad scope, or are we just talking about the?
I think what I've got condensed a little bit is just the
What I've got is a member and whoever it will be motion to not exceed $1,500 per month, July, August, and September, excuse me, and to come back in November with further review of fulfillment.
Is there somebody who can make that motion as Andrea stated?
I would make that motion, but I'd like to make one. I think we ought to go through October because we're not going to be back till November, and if we have budgeted $1,500 a month in our own already, then let's go ahead and authorize the October payment.
I would have a discussion for that, though. October, they're not sending out, they're not printing the papers.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So this should be a lot cheaper to send out than them printing all of that. So maybe for October, we allocate $750, half of its budget.
The board can always come back and amend it. I would make it just clean, and if you're going to add October, add it for the full amount. If you're not, just don't add it, but it makes it difficult.
The reality is October wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't even bill the city for October's till probably end of November, and the reality is that the chamber wouldn't get it. So I think you're good through September.
Okay. I think we're going to find, too, that the chamber is going to bill a lot less. I think that's what we're going to find anyhow. So
we're not sure. We'll have to go through the numbers and see how it works out.
Okay. So back to the motion. As
John. Yeah, I'll make a motion that we go ahead and pay the chamber bill at our budgeted amount of $1,500 a month. The $2,500 overpayment for the month of August will be credited against that $1,500 requirement for July and August. And that, I guess that's all we need.
In September.
July, August, and September. Well, the overpayment in September will be part of the payment for July and August, be accredited against the payments due then.
I got it.
I'll second that.
Got that, Andrea?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any more discussion? Oh.
Sorry, but what if, as far as the chamber goes, what if they can't do this in those months? They couldn't do it at $1,500 a month. We don't know.
Then they should have brought that to our attention when they couldn't do it, because that was what we had agreed upon. That was the negotiation that we had. I mean, that's how I feel. That's just my
two cents. We negotiated with the chamber on
we
this
had,
amount?
Yeah, it had okay. been $20,000 was our budget, and that's what they had agreed upon. And it was they, in the past, had been getting $1,500 a month.
But if they got inundated with mailings and they, we can do this amount for $1,500 and these we won't send out anymore.
When we come back, we'll bring back an itemized bill from them to show what they did mail.
Okay.
And then I think you'll probably have a broader idea of the scope of what was sent out.
Okay. Because I have no idea.
You can see it on your, if you look on your promotions report of what was sent out, you can do the figures yourself. You could take the year-to-date totals and divide that by that $20,000 number, and you'll find that we're – I did it at one point. I think it was like $2 and something cents a cent at each person. That's what it costed us, was $2 and something cents for fulfillment.
So we have a motion on the table. And okay, opposed? None with one abstention, Don Doubleday.
Who seconded that motion?
I did.
Thank you.
Member Biagini. Okay, and then sorry. The last thing is the discussion on creating Morro Bay Lodging and Tourism business cards. This is a fairly inexpensive thing to do, and let me explain to you why I'm bringing this forward. As I do that, I'll pass you out my personal business card. Why will I do that? You're going to say. I just want to show you, everyone, I won't show you my credit card, and my husband will be glad about that. So I'm just going to pass a couple of these this way and one this way, and you can all look at my personal business card. So at issue here is that throughout the last few months, we've done several trade shows and several FAM trips. The issue is that every time I stand up in front of, or Michelle stands up in front of, or John stands up in front of, or Dawn or Jane, or even, you know, Nick or Karen, we have to stand up in front of this group of travel writers. There's 22 travel writers there. Our purview under this group of TBID is to never promote our own business above everybody else's. So here I am, twice, out on the boat with 20 travel writers. I am telling them all about the wonders of Morro Bay. I am telling them how wonderful our town is, how fabulous the restaurants are, how they should hit Taco Temple, how they should go to Nick's up in North Morro Bay to Lola's because it's dog friendly, how they should hit Windows on the Water, Giovanni's, Tognazzini's. It became increasingly difficult when they would ask me, well, what business do you have? I would answer vaguely, I have a hotel here in town. The entire weekend of Savor the Central Coast, I gave out one business card, and it was to an acquaintance who I hadn't seen in a while, and I mentioned the beach bungalow once. The problem is, in order to make all of these great press contacts, I have to be able to hand out a business card, and so do you, all of us. So John sat at dinner with the 20 travel writers and had no way to give them anything to direct them back other than one of these, to morrobay.org, or how to reach him back if they had any questions about Morro Bay. So my suggestion is that we do use the Morro Bay Lodging and Tourism Alliance logo on the business card, and we do it the inexpensive, old-fashioned way. We list our email address. We put everybody on the back with their email address, morrobay.org on there, and the chamber phone number, but we give a phone number for each one of us individually and our email address so that they can reach us back without promoting our own businesses. Now, if we want to establish email addresses through morrobay.org, maybe Rick can help us do that, or somebody can help us do that through the chamber. But I think that it's important that we have a place for them to be able to contact us back. Because they asked me several times, you know, and I had to say back to people, well, in my position with the Morro Bay Lodging and Tourism Alliance, I would be falling against our policy of not promoting my hotel if I handed you my business card. So I really do think that we need business cards for when we do these types of functions and meet and greets and trade shows and everything else.
I actually think that's a good idea even beyond that, because the small hotels that I've talked to, they go, well, who do we call for this and who do I call for that? So these cards are going to be really good, and we should give them out also to the other hoteliers.
I agree. I think it's a really good idea, and I saw it a lot at Savor. I had actually, John had sent me the logo, and we were putting our logos on. We had stickers for all of the donations, and then we had made some that they were little tags that we tied on with Raffi. We ended up at Savor giving those out because it just had our logo on it, and we would hand write phone numbers on the back. And so I think that this is something that's needed. It's very inexpensive. You know, I know all of us nowadays print. You know, I print business cards right in my office. As far as the email goes, I would personally say I don't need one more email to add to my list. I think I have no problem putting my personal email on there, and we could just do that. I mean, that's my 2 cents on the email. So
I was thinking on the email, what you might be able to do just to save on having so many different emails is maybe we could come up with like one master email that would go to everybody. That might be the way to do it. We'll set up
that night. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with your name on the back. So it's always been a shame to me that nobody ever uses a business card for marketing on the back. I look at that and I'm like, that's a wasted space. So perhaps we could do something with our logo on the front and then a list of all of us on the back here. And I would probably leave that to maybe your expertise, John, to take a look at and maybe bring something back to us.
Okay.
Because you already have the logo, and then
yeah, we could come up with something pretty.
You
easily.
Have all of our, you know, we can make a.
So is the idea to have one for each member, or do you want to have one MasterCard with
one MasterCard, and we can all just dip into the pool? It's cheaper that way, and I'm innately cheap.
And I think it's important to have all of the board members on there because out in the hotel world, there's some people that are more comfortable coming to Joan, and there's some more comfortable to me or Karen or Jane, depending on, you know, everybody. We all have our little ties in the community, and some people want to.
So would you want to have your phone numbers with each person?
I think so.
How does everybody else
and
feel about that? I don't mind
email.
Having a phone number. I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, I'm listed anyways.
Mm-hmm. And then I think what you could do if you're talking to a specific person, I mean, you just take the card, and I mean, it seems kind of silly, but I mean, you just circle your name and go, this is me.
Or
contact
check it.
Me.
A little box.
Yeah.
That's me.
That's what they do at doctor's offices.
Yeah. For years, my husband and I had John and Joan Solu on all of our business cards. I mean, that's we used one card. No, it just said John and Joan Solu. It was so now we're individuals. We've separated the business cards this time.
So you could have just done Jay Solu.
I know Jay Solu. Yeah. Anyways, so I would look for a motion to approve the expense of developing a business card, and printing and bringing back next month the layout or whatever for our approval. Is there a motion on the table?
A motion to have John develop some business cards for the Alliance and bring it in the next meeting, a generic card for all of us.
I'll second that.
Any more discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Terrific. Okay, so that moves us down to declaration of future agenda items. I have the TOT expanded report form. Or not form, but expanded report. I have the form for approval and support guideline. I have unfinished business as the Jackrabbit reservations and also the VCB. I have the VCB, the direction on what we want to give the VCB. Numerically, and we're all going to report back. And also, yes, the fulfillment is unfinished business. Is there any other future agenda items anyone would like to declare?
When do we start talking about the Christmas party?
I have something that I'd like to bring up or possibly for a future agenda item. You know, starting November 1st, in a couple of weeks, we go back to 3%, and to my understanding, we will be funding a portion of the visitor center. So I have lots of questions now if we're going to be funding the visitor center. I thought that there was a board member from our board to sit on the chamber. I remember that being discussion. That was never okay. So I have lots of questions just about us now funding the visitor center. And of course, for funding it, I'd like to know their budget, who sits on their board. I mean, I just have a lot of questions that I think would be something for possibly a future agenda item.
Are you looking for a presentation from the chamber? What are you looking just to see their budget? I'm not sure what you're looking for.
I'm looking for a handful of things. If we're funding the visitor center, I would like to, one, see their budget. And if we're going to be funding this visitor center, I know it's a contract between the chamber and the city, but if we're funding that entity, I would like to make sure that they're fiscally responsible and like to see their budget. So I guess first off, I'd like to see their budget, and I'd like to see who runs the visitor center. So I guess if that requires the chamber to come in and give a report or the city to come in and give a report, I guess I just want to know the logistics of how it's all working. Yeah.
I'd almost go a little bit farther, and I mean, financial oversight, I think, would be something we should talk about.
Right.
You know, budget review, budget approval process, how that's done. I don't know.
Right. I just have a lot of questions. I think this is a melding of many pots, and we're now part of this pot, and I want to see that it's all melded properly. And
are you looking for a budget of the visitor center or a budget of the chamber?
The visitor center. We really don't have anything to do technically with the chamber. These are all logistic questions that just now, if we're paying for part of this, like John's saying, I want to be able to see what we're paying for.
The motion that you passed a few meetings ago was to the proposal that is going to be green. No, I think it was 33%. I think Chair Solo, you maybe started it, or maybe the City Council was talking about 40, but they haven't made any firm determination because, again, the part of that motion was to not do that before the percentage changed. So they were looking at your recommendation was 33%, and they haven't moved forward on that, but that item will be going back to Council.
Can you send us an email blast to the full board as to when that item would come before council so that we can follow it to council?
It won't be Monday.
It won't be this Monday, okay? That we know.
Now, if we don't have a say on the board then, and we mistakenly did not put that in the motion, is that something then that we would just go personally, individually to the City Council and talk to them about? Or can we amend that motion?
Well, the motion can be amended. And again, it's a recommendation on what you're interested in, because with funding 33%, it's, again, not a majority. So certainly you could amend your motion. I wouldn't suggest going individually because you want to make sure that that's a board. I mean, you certainly could, but unless it's a board consensus that you want to amend that motion. And I would suggest bringing that amendment back at your next meeting.
So it's not something that could be amended today because it's not on our agenda.
It's not really on your agenda.
Okay, so I'd like to put that on
our agenda. I was trying to stretch, but it's really not on your agenda.
Okay, so can we add that to our agenda for next agenda? It'll be
maybe
too
just
late for City Council.
Generic, probably not.
So are we looking for to get on the agenda? Let me clarify. We're looking for a full discussion of what our percentage of the visitor center funding is including. Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah, and I'd almost like to bring back that.
And what that $52,800 buys us is what you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, I think that discussion is going to be premature.
Okay.
I think what I'm hearing from you is you're interested in amending your motion, which you made a few months ago, amending your 33% to add in additional information. I think that's a different discussion than what does this get us, because I think that may come after.
And the budget issues and stuff, you said you'll send us, or that's public knowledge, or...
It's on the city. The visitor center budget is within the city's budget.
Okay.
And the majority of it is, I can tell you, is personnel services, the grand majority. We've got a further breakdown the chambers provided us that I'm happy to provide.
Okay.
But we're currently working on those numbers from last year. So.
Last year is a great start for next year.
Would it be possible when you're done with that report and you supply it to council that you could supply it back for us to review as well?
Sure.
Okay. So I'd like to ask for that back for sure so that we can look at that, because I think that'll give us a good idea. So, but for next month, you'd like to put on there that discussion of a possible amendment to the motion dated whenever that was.
I remember it being a full discussion that we had, and obviously it was a mistake possibly on my part because I made the motion that I X'd that part out. So I'd like to revisit it and look at what the motion exactly was and possibly make an amendment.
Yeah, there was a lot to that day.
So I'm going to put the topic, just to make sure we're all on the same page, discussion of amendment to the motion made on the funding of the visitor center, partial funding of the visitor center. Is that going to cover it?
Well, and then I also want to have on there the visitor center in general discussion, not so much about what...
That would be probably a separate...
That's what I'm saying. That's going to be separate.
Okay, right.
Not at your next meeting.
Well, technically, we're not funding yet then, right?
Do we begin funding? Let me ask you, do we begin funding?
You don't begin funding until the council hears this item. The
right.
Council hasn't heard
okay.
this item.
Okay.
Right. It's going to be difficult for the council to hear this item if you're planning on amending your motion. So we're happy to bring back. I just want to make sure we're all understanding. We're happy to bring back the amendment at your next meeting.
Okay. And then as far as the visitor center, currently, as of November 1st, we are not funding them.
You are not funding until the council approves your motion. The okay. council has not heard this item.
Okay. And that's...
Review of that. I'm sorry. So review of the motion dated, whatever that was, will come back. Review of the funding proposal will come back. Is that correct?
What I've termed it...
Thank you.
Discussion of the amendment to the motion made on partial funding of the visitor center. And then a separate item, not for your next meeting, unless you'd like it. But I think it's a moot discussion.
Right. I don't think, no. I don't want to have something that's pointless. We have, yeah. And that was why I'm just clarifying, because for some reason I was under the impression that the city had already heard this and already had adopted it.
It was included in a discussion that they had overall with the visitor center and the budget document, but they made no motion.